This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Well, it's all here, right in front of us. It's no longer a tech race. It's a global escalation, a sprint to create machines that can outthink, outlearn, and outlast every one of us. And the writer of this particular article, Kay Rubashek, says, and I'm not downplaying the benefits of AI technologies or saying AI is inherently bad, but the scale of this investment isn't just seeking benevolent progress. A greater goal of intellectual dominance is at play. And to maintain it, these companies are quietly laying claim to future power, literally. Federal energy officials have warned that U.S. data centers could soon account for up to 20% of all national electricity consumption by 2030. Yet amid this frenzy to build smarter machines, we're overlooking a staggering effect. She says, the machines we're building still can't perform the everyday feats our brains carry out automatically every second, such as, for most of us hopefully, forming original thoughts, adapting to new situations, regulating emotion, for those of us who do, and or creating meaning. And no one seems to even consider the fact that a human brain does all of that using less power than that of a dim light bulb. And inside your skull is a living supercomputer with a staggering 86 billion neurons forming more than 100 trillion synaptic connections. To put that in perspective, a human brain, just one human brain, contains more circuits than all the technology on the planet combined, yet it runs on about 20 watts of energy. That's less power than your laptop charger. So what is it we're after then? What's all this AI business about? Is it the next wonder of the world? Is it the latest drug of choice of the culture? Is it like, well, going back to the 1960s with psychedelic drugs that promised all kinds of insights into the future, and you could feel, you're not be God, but you could feel like God. And then, of course, that accelerated into the cocaine world and into marijuana that promised all these wonderful things that, well, eventually begin to find out don't give what they promise. In fact, attached to them are very grave consequences that no one wants to consider. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to be taking a look at this matter of AI again. And the reason we're doing it is because this is perhaps the biggest news issue out there, except for perhaps the stabbing of a young lady on a train by a black gentleman, using the term gentleman lightly, who rejoiced in his killing of that black lady, that white girl, by stabbing her multiple times in the neck. And it has completely taken over our news, completely taken it over. And yet there are things, and as important as that was, and as painful and as horrific as that was, there's nothing you and I can do about it. But there may be something that you and I can do about what's happening behind the scenes and now out front more than ever concerning the taking over of our brains using a, shall we say, metaphorically, stabbing them with electronic power. What does it do to our brains? There's no blood that will flow, but something is going to happen. In fact, it's already being determined, is already happening by those who are using this kind of technology. In fact, so much so that even smartphones now are falling into hard times with regard to governments that are outlawing them, even for kids 13 of age and under. I believe, actually, Australia has outlawed outlawed cell phones for kids 13 of age and under. So there's something going on here, and we haven't a clue. I remember when the first cell phones came out, I was a practicing attorney, and I did not want one because I knew that if I got a cell phone, that the demands of clients would become ever increasing and would shorten the time of response and so on, and it wouldn't give you an opportunity to think. But they became so universal, almost demanding. So I insisted that we have to get a cell phone. In fact, it was my secretary who said, Chuck, you're just going to have to get a cell phone. So I installed my first cell phone. Well, actually, I purchased a portable, and the portable was called a Brick, prepared, created, manufactured by Motorola. The thing weighed about 3.5 pounds, and it really looked like half of a brick, and you'd hold that up to your ear, and quite frankly, if you didn't have muscle strength and endurance, it wouldn't be very long that you could stay on the conversation. But as expensive as all get out, and then realizing how that wasn't going to work very well, I installed a Motorola cell phone in my vehicle. Because as a lawyer, you're traveling back and forth to court, you want to redeem the time, you want to, and so on. So I did that. And here was a cell phone, not portable. It had to be hardwired into my car. There were no such things as portables that could function in that way at that time. This was around 1983. And so I installed this first Motorola telephone, a cell phone, in my car, and mobile phone, $1,800. And the only thing it would do was make and receive calls. There's nothing else. There were no smart aspects to it other than to make and receive calls. Well, it saved me a lot of time. It allowed me to redeem a lot of time. But ultimately, it was not sufficient. And as portable phones came along, even smarter phones that could do this, that, or the other, and even eventually take pictures, we were addicted to having to have the latest, the next, the best, the most powerful, and so on. Well, the same thing is true with regard to AI, except AI may not be serving us as well as we might think. Just as the cell phone or the portable phone or the mobile phone was able to be used by us, eventually it began to use us. Have you noticed on television, for instance, you're watching a movie or something, and all of a sudden a cell phone rings and it disturbs something very, very important that's taking place? It's almost used as a written idea into almost every picture. The lordship of the cell phone, disrupting relationships, disrupting conversations, unnerving situations of peace, and so on. So what are we to make then of this new technology, whether you want to call it ChatGPT or whether you want to call it AI, artificial intelligence? We'll lump them all together. Where is that going to leave us? What are the implications? The articles are multiplying all over the world concerning this. Stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. In a recent article in the Epoch Times came a headline, The Real Bandwidth Crisis, How Modern Life is Breaking the Human Mind. How modern life is breaking the human mind. We must begin to treat attention as a finite source and to protect our minds as we do our bodies. Well, What's alarming is that virtually nobody is monitoring this assault on our minds. It's almost as if it doesn't matter. What matters is the advance of technology. Not what it's doing to our minds, to our wills, to our emotions, to our relationships, to our future. No, those things are, well, kind of brushed aside. It's got to be good. It's got to be good. This is technology. This is going to rule the world. This is going to change everything. And so the pace increases, the pace increases. Everything moves faster and faster and faster and faster. Our minds can't keep up with it. And so we have to have ChatGPT, an AI, artificial intelligence, to come in and make up the deficit. But is that really going to make up the deficit, or is it going to create other problems that actually weaken the very minds that God has given us to accomplish the things that he wanted us to do during our lifetimes on this planet? Another article talks about AI. Every prompt and creativity. Let me give you an illustration of what that looks like. If you were to go to, let's assume that you're going to use Google on your computer to inquire as to something that is of interest to you. You want to find out something. Maybe you want to find out something about AI. And so Google, being at the very heart of the AI movement now, is going to have its governing receptor for your inquiry, whatever that inquiry may be, and it's going to respond through AI, artificial intelligence. Not actual intelligence, but artificial intelligence that's made up of collectivizing the so-called information or intelligence of hundreds of thousands of others around and aggregating it in an instant of time to present the wonderful collective answer to you, to your question. Now, sometimes, and by the way, it's going to tell you right up front on the left-hand side of your computer, this is AI, or you might say the AI opinion, artificial intelligence. It's not going to cite any resource because AI is the collection of many resources. So it's not going to cite any resources, but it is going to give you a short version, a distilled version of an answer to your question. And then it says, if you want to know more, just hit here, click here, and it'll lay out a breakdown of what they just said. That's AI. Now, if you're wanting just something very simple, a quick answer that you're not going to rely upon for anything serious, and you're certainly not going to cite it in some term paper for your doctor's degree or even for your high school term paper, because there you're going to have a real cite, not just, quote, AI or Google. And so if that's all you're looking for, that's fine. But beyond that, you're not going to get it that way. If you want to write a term paper, it's going to aggregate things for you and kind of frame together something that sounds nice and sounds intelligent, but it's going to lack, for the most part, citations. It's going to lack any input from you. And so you are presumed to be brain dead. It's doing it for you. Now, if it's doing it for you, then how receptive do you think your teacher or your professor is going to be to receive this operation of your astute generation of a response to an issue that you've been asked to write about? I don't think they're going to be very happy with you. And so now professors are having to deal with this plague because students are trying to, we'll call it cheat on the one hand, but what they're really doing is cheating themselves. They're cheating themselves out of the use of their brains that will grow stronger as they are tested with having to go through the very challenges that they're now attributing to AI to do for them. Let's put it this way. They say, no pain, no gain. Well, people, a lot of people, students, consider it pain to have to think about what they might write about in a term paper or what somebody else, maybe even a doctor, is going to write about in a particular article and is going to want to generate it through AI to get by with having to do all of the individual research that seems painful. It's just too much trouble. So we're going to delegate that. All right. So the net effect of it is the more we delegate that out, the less we put our brains to the test. And if there's no test, there's no testimony. See, if your brain is not being tested, then there is no testimony that comes from it. In other words, there's no positive results. You haven't really learned anything. Not only have you not really learned anything, you have dispossessed your brain of the ability to struggle as would your muscles in weightlifting, for instance, so that your muscles would gain strength through being tested by resistance. Are we making any sense here? So what's very interesting is that strength training sharpens your memory and supports long-term brain health. Believe it or not, even weightlifting sharpens your memory and supports long-term brain health. Well, even the more so then, when we allow our minds, our brains, to be tested against challenges, thought challenges, reasoning challenges, and so on, yes, writing challenges, whatever, interpretation challenges, and so on, that will help us to build greater strength. This is how we build, by the way, our spiritual understanding and wisdom. Yes, we rely upon God. But when we rely upon God, he relies upon us to do something. You know what that is? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you rely upon AI to do that for you, you actually have done an end run around what God expected you to do. It's a pretense of doing what God wanted you to do. So you can't really build it into your mind and your heart. You can't meditate on it because AI is doing this job for you. It's artificial study. Artificial intelligence, artificial religiosity, artificial meditating on the Word of God. But we convince ourselves, wow, this technology will do it for me. No, it won't. It won't do what God wants it to do. It won't build it into your heart. It won't build it deeply into your mind. You won't find it necessary anymore to memorize the Word of God and therefore to meditate on it in a legitimate fashion, because you'll just be relying upon AI to generate it for you whenever you want to go to your computer or say something to Siri on your telephone or whatever. You're going to get it that way automatically. Now, there are some things that are good for that. For instance, I'll go to a cell phone. If I want to remember a particular location of a verse, I will quote the verse or a certain part of it that's characteristic of that verse. And if I do not remember exactly where it is in the scripture and I don't have my Bible handy, I'll just say that portion of the verse and guess what pops up on my cell phone? The location. Whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or whatever it happens to be. That's a legitimate use, but I don't want to rely upon that because I want to build the Word of God into my life, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, and we don't like that. This is one of the reasons why men today, Christian men, don't read. Too much effort. So they're looking to viewing to replace reading because it's passive. Viewing is more passive. Reading requires action, requires my attention. This is one of the reasons why when we were considering launching this program Viewpoint over 30 years ago, we decided not to go the television route, not to go the video route, but to go radio. Why? Because you can't dink out listening to the radio. If you're listening, you're listening. If you're not, you're not. But you can dink out watching television or a video or whatever. And so there are differences, you see, the way God has constructed us in order to be able to accomplish the things that he intends for us to do. So when we rely upon AI, artificial intelligence, in some way, what we're actually building is what is called cognitive debt that we accumulate every single time we use AI. Every prompt that we get is coming at the cost of cognitive efficiency and creativity. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, I don't want to forfeit the blessings of having God inspire my mind and my heart to be able to translate that inspiration into a book, for instance, or even into a radio broadcast that can communicate that to you, to God's people. That's where the thrill comes in. Not just by regurgitating information that might have come through ChatGPT or AI or whatever other source you want to talk about. Now, interestingly, when you talk about GPS, ground positioning systems, you use your cell phone. Yes, it's a great thing. It really is convenient. But it replaces map reading. Map reading requires a certain amount of perception, a certain amount of grasp of geography, of space and place and general location and so on. The GPS system takes all that away from you. It erodes our navigational abilities. So, do I use GPS? Yes. It does not deprive me in and of itself of the most important things that is related to my relationship with the Lord and his word and the thought processes generally that are required in order to use the brains that God has given to us intelligently. That all being the case, I want to just share with you very simply here from my book, recent book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages, a chapter called Scientific Salvation. Listen carefully. Do you believe that this is the motivational trajectory of technology driven by God-denying, God-despising scientists and philosophers? And why do they want to become as God or gods when and while adamantly maintaining their disbelief in both a God and creator? The philosopher Mae Migley made it clear in her 1992 book, the very year the Lord spoke to my heart about leaving the practice of law and pleading his cause in the land. She said, it's called Science as Salvation. She traces the notion of achieving immortality by transcendence of all material human body. Well, that's what GI does. That's what AI does. It's intended to transcend all of the mind and replace it with something else to accomplish some greater purpose. Well, what is that greater purpose? Well, here, listen to this. Transcending biological limitations has one ultimate goal, becoming immortal, becoming as God. Whoa, we'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries. on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
A recent article came out in the New Yorker, a magazine called AI is Coming for Culture. It's a long article that I'm not going to try to go into with you, but the gist of the article is that AI is taking over culture, that it's becoming the culture, so that you and I, as normal human beings, will no longer have real relevance because we're dependent on something outside of ourselves. Not God, we're dependent on something outside of ourselves, the new technology, and the more we depend upon it, the more dependent we come. It's like a kind of cultural cocaine. And it's seducing all of us into its mold. So when the Apostle Paul writes, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God," are you going to use AI to do that? How about the more you succumb to the world of AI, the more you use it yourself to replace your own mind, your own heart, your own thinking, and substitute it for this techno Trojan horse that you've allowed into your life that's conforming not only the culture around you, but it's conforming you to the ways of the culture? Are you seeing how this could become one of the most damning, one of the most dangerous things that could happen to humankind, creating a monstrous kind of deception to where our minds are not our own anymore? The Bible says your body is not your own. You're bought with a price, okay? But what's happening is technology wants to make our minds its own. And we're wowed by the spirit of this, even by the President of the United States and by all of these techno geek, whoever they are. Time Magazine has just issued its magazine stating the 100 most important AI folk out there in the country. And, you know, you may revere them. They may be supremely intelligent in and of themselves. But where is it all going? Is anybody really considering where this is going? Or is it just a full court press saying, "Wow, we can build the next Sputnik"? Oh, well, where did that go? Well, that went to the arms race. And that went to scientific explosion. Yes, it did. And we're still in that arms race, and it's getting stronger and stronger. And now we're in an AI race. That's exactly where we are. We're in an AI race, and we're being told that's exactly where we are. And if we don't win the AI race, China will rule us. Well, what's going to rule us in the meantime? An article came out in the Christian Post, a short article, saying, "As the development of artificial intelligence continues to accelerate in speed and scale, more tech leaders from diverse backgrounds are increasingly using religious and even theological language to describe an entity that someday doesn't actually yet even exist. It's artificial. Industry leaders from Elon Musk to Sam Altman have spoken repeatedly about the potentially transformative changes they're expecting over the next decade as AI is set to both create and eliminate millions of jobs worldwide. From dire warnings about AI giving birth to new religions to cult-like movements like worship of ChatGPT, the languages of technology and theology are intersecting in ways many could not have foreseen just a few years ago. Oh, well, what does that look like, friends? I wrote about that in my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. You see, this is part of the anti-messianic movement. It's creating a counterfeit Messiah. Transcending biological limitations, the ultimate goal, becoming immortal, becoming as God. So the cover story of Time magazine, February 21st, 2011, made this announcement. Are you listening? 2045, the year man becomes immortal. That, my friends, was 14 years ago. Now the time is upgraded to closer to 2030. And just in case you're breathing a sigh of relief that such a momentous event lies somewhere off, consider first the claim of Werner Vinge concerning the consummate event known as the singularity, which he exults will revolutionize the world, ushering in a post-human epoch. In 1993, the year we launched Save America Ministries, he said when he expected this ultimate progression of human history to virtually godhood, he announced regarding the coming technological singularity, he said, I'd be surprised if the singularity had not happened by 2030. You know how far that off is, that is, friend? 4.5 years. 4 years, 4.5 years. For those interested in the significance of the year 2030, consider that that was the year the World Economic Forum decreed the consummation of the Great Reset, and that U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry declared it was ushered in by the inauguration of Joseph Biden as U.S. president. He also made noteworthy that the United Nations had established for fulfillment of its one world globalist intentions, Agenda 2030. So, what we're looking at, friends, is a confluence of technology in the area of electronics, in the area of digital work, in the area of biology, and it's all merging. So, the mystery of the ages, that was the subtitle of my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. The mystery of the ages has truly taken root in the heart of scientists. Are we awaiting a Messiah or creating one? Are we awaiting a Messiah or actually creating one? Now, nobody's going to tell you they're actually trying to create a Messiah. But even a Christian, Francis Collins, who's the one who publicly ahead of the public-financed Genome Project back in 1993, professing to be a follower of Jesus Christ, said, we do ascribe some sort of quasi-religious significance to our DNA. So have we achieved scientific salvation? Or is it just lurking around under a secretive mantle for the momentous unveiling of our messianic moment? According to Francis Collins, quoted in the Los Angeles Times, he said, we have caught a glimpse of an instruction book previously known only to God. So if the book of Genesis informs that God made man in his image, Might man now be recreating a new hybrid humankind by splicing and dicing the DNA and then uniting it with ChatGPT and artificial intelligence? Are we playing God or becoming God? Can we save ourselves and become immortal without the divine intervention of a Savior or Messiah Redeemer? This is science's messianic moment, friends. That's what it is. And it's happening quite rapidly now. According to Richard Seed, a Harvard-educated physicist, he said, you can't stop science. He said, cloning and the reprogramming of DNA is the first serious step in becoming one with God. Notice, one with God. In other words, becoming God. You and I are becoming God. We're not just made in his image, we're becoming him. And therefore, replacing him. We would no longer lead God because we are God. We're becoming our own I am. And if we do that, then if we become immortal in the flesh and become God in and of ourselves, the problem of accountability is solved. No more concerned about sin, right? No need for salvation. We are the Savior, and that's what's happening. That's what's happening, friends. You may be surprised. You might want to get a copy of my book, Messiah. It's a very unusual book. Maybe not quite what you would have expected, but we break down a whole lot of counterfeit messianic efforts, movements, religions, and so on, and then culminate with the look at the real Messiah and how Jesus, Yeshua, the Savior of the world, is coming. He's coming in power and glory. He's coming on the third day. He's coming quickly. And what all that looks like. It's a fascinating journey to help us to understand the dynamics of what are taking place. It's a $22 book, yours for $18. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. It's called Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. On the website, saveus.org, $18. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. I don't think you'll be disappointed, but be patient as you go through, because there's going to be a whole lot revealed that perhaps you were never, ever aware of. God's aware of it, though, and he knows the deception that lies ahead. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Daniel Amen, or Amen. An article writer for the Epoch Times asks this question. Well, actually, he makes a statement. A digital girlfriend who flirts, strokes your ego, will do almost anything you ask. On the surface, he said, it looks like a harmless novelty. But underneath, it's a siren song, one designed to hijack a generation of young men before they even know how to use their own brains. It's a personalized soft porn slave, a potent destroyer of dopamine, a natural hormone often referred to as the feel-good chemical of the body. In other words, it's a new way to experience porn. Through artificial intelligence, of course. He says, as I watched, it felt like watching the wooden horse roll into Troy, that is back there in history, not with soldiers, but with dopamine destroyers. Once again, we flung open the barn doors, unleashing the beast into our schools, homes, and workplaces before we've even stopped to ask, is this gift, ChatGPT and AI, is this the Trojan horse packed with danger that will destroy us? We've seen this before, he said, with video games, smartphones, social media, benzos, alcohol, marijuana, opioids. We embrace convenience before understanding consequence. And now we're doing it again, with a tool that doesn't just entertain or numb, but replaces the very act of thinking. And the cost may be nothing short of crisis in brain development. A recent MIT study examined what happens in the brain when people use AI tools like ChatGPT. The results were chilling. Brain activity dropped, especially in the prefrontal and temporal lobes, the areas responsible for problem-solving, planning, memory, and language. In other words, when we stop struggling, that is working with our brains, the brain stops growing. And when we outsource its activities, our brains atrophy. Does it lead to dementia? Well, it sounds pretty dramatic, but based on everything we know about brain reserve, that's not far-fetched. It's like getting on the march to dementia. A very rapid approach of dementia. The writer says, imagine a generation of students copy-pasting AI-generated content instead of struggling to write it themselves. What reserve are they building? What are they losing? We don't need to wait 60 years to find out. The signs are already here. Reduced motivation, emotional blunting, weakened memory, and passive learning. When ChatGPT becomes your first brain, your own brain becomes a best second tier. Many top executives have strict no-tech nanny contracts, zero screen time, no phones, tablets, or even TVs in view of the child. Some nannies are forbidden from using their own devices at all while on duty for these tech giants. Why? Because they know the truth. They know convenience dulls cognition. And they don't want their kids seduced by the same tools they helped unleash. And yet the church is jumping on this bandwagon and holding whole big conferences as to how to minimize the Christian involvement in leading people to Christ and kick over the traces to ChatGPT or AI. But what you feed the brain matters. And what you don't feed it matters as well. So here are these tech giants guarding their kids like royalty. Maybe we should ask why. The result, a society of passive minds, dopamine-depleted students, fragile learners, and emotionally disconnected adults, many of whom never built the neural muscle needed to face complex complexity, failure, or challenge. And yes, in the long run, this may increase the risk of dementia, depression, and learning helplessness. Wow. Pierces to the dividing asunder, so to speak, doesn't it? Now, from the Russian Times came this article today. Zuckerberg unveils new superintelligence lab. Actually, it was not today. It was a month ago. Zuckerberg unveils new superintelligence lab. Well, who's Zuckerberg? Well, he's the head of Facebook, now called Meta. The CEO of Meta announced the formation of Meta Superintelligence Labs, a new division dedicated to building AI systems that surpass human capabilities. In other words, that make us as close to God as he can. Maybe even becoming God in our own estimation. It brings together Meta's core AI research and production teams under one banner, with one stated goal of delivering personal superintelligence for everyone. Now, we used to think of God as the ultimate superintelligent being, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipowerful, and so on. Now, what they're announcing is we're going to create those characteristics for ourselves. Well, leading the new lab is Alexander Wang, 28 years of age, founder of Scale AI, who has joined Meta as the chief AI officer. And here's the quote. As the pace of AI progress accelerates, developing superintelligence is coming into sight. I believe this will be the beginning of a new era for humanity, and I am fully committed to doing what it takes for Meta to lead the way. That's what Zuckerberg wrote, describing the move as a historic turning point. Well, what is that historic turning point? We know that just recently, President Donald Trump unveiled a $50 billion Stargate initiative, a sweeping federal strategy to secure U.S. leadership in superintelligent AI. His allies described AI as the Manhattan Project of our generation, insisting that the future of human civilization must be led by the United States. Sam Altman, OpenAI CEO, promised that his company was committed to helping the U.S. government safeguard America's lead in AI for the sake of protecting American democratic values. I'm not sure just how AI does that. But then Zuckerberg claimed that Meta is uniquely positioned to deliver super intelligence to the world. Superintelligence to the world. Now, God wanted to deliver his superintelligence to us, but not just intelligence in the abstract. You see, that's what Satan offers. That's what Satan tried to offer Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, look, did God say you should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Oh, yeah, Eve said. He said we shouldn't do that. So Satan says, in the form of a serpent, he says, yes, but God knows that in the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to be like him. You're going to have super intelligence. You're going to know good from evil. You're going to know everything that he knows. That's how Satan seduced Eve. And Adam, willing to please his wife because of the emotional content between them, bought into it, knowing that he was defying God's word and will and ways, and the rest is history. We're all governed by this sin nature, the desire lurking deep within us to become God. That's what Satan tried to do and is still trying to do. He wants so badly to do that that he intends to rule and reign from the Temple Mount in a rebuilt temple. And is going to do that for a very short period of time. The Apostle Paul warned about that in his writing to the Thessalonians. So we're in very, very troubling times, my friends. And here on Viewpoint, we're always preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Yes, we're educating. Yes, we're informing. Yes, we're discipling for destiny. But more than that, the overall goal is to prepare God's people for these times, because they're very tricky, and they're getting more and more deceptive, just like Jesus said they would. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. He even said that many are going to come in my name and deceive many. And then ultimately he said, look, guys, he's talking to his disciples. You got to understand, fellas, that the deception is going to be so great throughout the world that if it were possible, even the very remnant elect would be deceived. Do you have any idea how grave that warning was from Jesus? He was talking to believers. He was talking to his followers. He was talking to his key followers. And yet somehow we think, or even being told by many of our pastors, that that's irrelevant. Doesn't matter. You're in. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Yeah, so do the demons. They recognized him immediately when he showed up on the scene to cast out demons and so on. Why are you come to torment us before our time, they said. Thou Son of God. We're so confused. We didn't even need AI to confuse us. We've become so confused in our theology, in our applications of it, that we're unprepared. We're just unprepared. That's what troubles me. I believe that this is the reason why God called me to leave the practice of law at the height of my career, to plead his cause in the land as a voice first to the church, then declaring vision for the nation, America's greatest crisis hour, right here on the near edge of the second coming. And it's been 30 years we've been doing this. Actually, more than that, 32 years. The broadcast is just over 30 years. And so, God loves those who profess his name. And he does not want you to be caught up in the deception that is going to drive you to a very unpleasant destination. Doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to be deceived by the artificial intelligence that increasingly is going to declare godhood, going to become the moving part of the beast empire that will try to replace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You don't want to be caught up in that. But Christians are so lazy, even before AI came on the scene, lazy, not willing to prepare themselves. A Sunday go to church mentality, but not studying the Word of God, not reading the Word of God, not humbly submitting to the authority of the Word of God to prepare our own minds and hearts. That's where we are, my friends. I urge you to get a copy of my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. It can be fairly argued that technology is a modern quasi-religion whose daily miracles are commonplace, said one writer. Will humans be satisfied to be like God, or will we persist to become God? That's really where we are. Get a copy of the book. It's a $23 book, $22 book, yours for $18, on the website saveus.org. Saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries at $6 for postage and handling. And as you go through the book, you're going to realize how challenging these times really are, in ways you never even contemplated. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church, declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.